And now, the Sandhills number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. Welcome back to Mornings with the Leader Man. My name is Brad LaDronca, filling in for Steve the Leader Man this morning. Alongside me, as always, is Moore County's one and only Mr. Stephen Woodward. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, everybody, on this tempestuous Tuesday here in the fabulous Sandhills.
Weather for us today here in the Sandhills, you're looking at a high of 68 degrees with a low this evening dipping down into the mid-50s. We'll call it 54 degrees. Rain is going to creep into the area later this evening, running through at least the first half of tomorrow. So if you've got things to do, go ahead and get them done today. Because tomorrow does look like it's going to be a little messy out there. We're going to call it today partly cloudy skies as that front moves in. Obviously, the skies are going to cloudy up a little bit more. Currently outside, it is 49 degrees. Winds are calm. Dew point 47. So humidity 95% right now. So still got some time to get out there, get some golfing in. I may try to hit the course later this afternoon. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it does.
Would you call ahead and warn the folks?
I golfed Saturday, and
that was
absolutely atrocious, actually. So can only get better from here, I guess you could say. Well, joining us right now on the phone, Major Dave Getz. Good morning, Dave. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Great to be with you. Thank you.
Great. Stephen.
You were saying it's going to be a cloudy day, but I've got sunshine on a cloudy day because I have a person joining us, a Major Dave, who's going to shine the light on some of the shortcomings in how we've been wrapping up our election season here. It's gone into overtime in many of these counties, counting these provisional ballots. Major Dave is one of the principals of the Electoral Education Foundation and a North Carolina native, and who served our country in the uniform for 20 years. He retired as a U.S. Army military police major, and was engaged in a career of training fellow members of the military, and in more recent years he has taken up the cause of election integrity, which is certainly a worthy one and one in short supply, considering all the pitfalls that exist. Major Dave, what we're looking at right now in North Carolina specifically is this race for the state Supreme Court seat between sitting Judge Jefferson Griffin and his Democrat opponent, who was appointed last year by the governor, the outgoing governor of North Carolina. But what your stock and trade really is the data mining and the understanding of how manipulation of data and how sort of, I guess I would call it, reckless handling of such things as same-day registrations can lead to these kinds of stalemates. You have submitted, as of 2 days ago, a report to the North Carolina General Assembly on voter registration and election data irregularities. And in fact, that very same General Assembly is convening today in Raleigh, and it is my understanding that they will be potentially taking up a bill to as a short-term fix for what's been going on in some of these counties. So just give us an overview of some of the key red flags that you've discovered involving voters without driver's licenses and overseas civilian voters who have no verifiable mailing addresses.
Well, you're right, Steve. And to be honest with you, I got into this back in 2016 when the state board reported three candidates receiving a negative number of votes. And I went and met with them later. They claimed, well, that was some calibration data that was sadly was not cleared out of the machines beforehand. But my point that I made to them then, and I remind all your listeners out there today, if the positive number is larger than the negative number, you'll never see the negative number. And that's how easy it is to manipulate these vote totals.
Right.
As of today, we have 8,401 same-day registrants. These are people who showed up in person at one stop, were not on the rolls, they registered and were given a ballot, and were allowed to vote.
During
early voting.
Right.
But these people and their records did not show up in the data file until after Election Day. And state law requires them to be entered within 48 hours of having registered and voted. Well, why is it taking 2 or 3 weeks for some of these people to show up in the records? So we cry foul, and we're going to ask the State Board of Elections to look into these. And we've shared this with Judge Jefferson Griffin's campaign and the PDF that I sent you yesterday, because they have filed suit to get a temporary injunction against the state board from certifying anything and declaring it final until all these questions are answered.
Now, is this negligence or is this deliberate malfeasance, do you think?
I think it's a combination of both, actually. What we observed on election night, and I was sitting there watching, capturing these data files every 10, 15 minutes and looking for movement in the data. Totals, vote totals, were being switched back and forth between the candidates. And it was clearly visible, and it would flip back, it would flip again. What makes me sure this is intentional manipulation, Steve, is that this changes were taking place after the county had made their final upload to the state. The state board does not have the authority to change any number for any reason.
Right.
Their whole mission is just to aggregate the 100 counties, add them all up, and report the totals. So
yeah.
Why were these numbers changing? And that's what we're demanding the legislature look into and get to the root of it and see who is making these changes and why.
Right. So what you're describing there is something that can only be done manually. Isn't that correct?
Well, it would take a very creative programmer to write a program to do that automatic flipping like that. And
right.
Why would they write it to flip it and then flip it back?
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. So that's why I'm convinced it's intentional manipulation.
Now, one of the key findings that you've submitted to the General Assembly is that a year to date, 525,000 voters have been added to the North Carolina voting rolls, which is, you know, I guess a testament to the fact that people are discovering North Carolina and fleeing other less desirable states. We know that's a true phenomenon, but 525 voters added year to date, and yet you report that over 150,000 do not have North Carolina driver's licenses. So they could not have voted, or are these all the provisional ballots that we're seeing?
Oh no! This had nothing to do with provisional ballots. I will recite to you just an anecdotal example. Down in Kinston, in Lenore County, they were receiving batches of voter registration forms that had been filled out and collected by these vans of young people hired to go up and down to these rural counties and sign people up to vote. Well, we discovered most of them had been registered before. And the reason we know they're bogus is because the county has reported a 90% rejection rate, because they send an address verification card to each of those voters, and roughly 90% have come back from the post office as undeliverable. Bogus addresses.
Really?
They were padding the rolls. They were trying to just add as many people on the rolls as they could. I guess it's kind of like throwing spaghetti against the wall and opening enough of it'll stick.
Right.
Well, didn't we... I'm sorry, Major. Didn't we go before the election and purge a $275 million or something like that off of the rolls?
No, not million, but 400 and some thousand.
400 and some thousand.
Isn't that right? Yeah.
Well, the state board issued a report back in the spring in response to a lawsuit claiming they had removed 747,000. Well, I have the weekly voter rolls for every week of this year and every week going all the way back to December 2012 in my database. And I could run that and compare one record to the next and see which records showed up, which records disappeared. And that 747,000 is inflated by about 400,000 records. I can only identify about 300,000 out of that. But that's the report they filed with the court. And so I am in contact with those lawyers hoping that they can get court to force the state board to produce a roster of all those names that they claim they deleted, which in effect they didn't.
Right. So what appeared to be very encouraging news, because that's a big number, and many of us have been, you know, wondering and asking and demanding for years that the rolls be cleansed of these deceased and other questionable voters. But it seems like that was more of a smokescreen than a proactive move on their part.
That's right. And let me circle back to what you just said earlier, though. That 150,000 that now don't have a driver's license, many of them were previously registered voters, and their prior record says that they did have a driver's license. So I question, why was that data not brought forward when this account was reactivated, when they moved those voters back into an active status?
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. And yes, it may be just sloppy data management, but still, how much sloppiness can we tolerate and still think the results are credible?
Right. And then, in addition to the General Assembly, have you been providing your findings to the state Republican Party and its folks?
Well, a number of their key players, including Jason Simmons, the state chair, are Facebook friends of mine, and I tag those people in my post so that they're alerted and can see it. I've not had any direct contact with him yet, but I do know that the document I sent to you and I sent to the legislature yesterday is now in the hands of Jefferson Griffin, and his team are reviewing it, and I hope to become more closely involved with them in explaining how all these issues do call his outcome into legitimate question.
Right. So we'll look forward to having you back again when we see how all this shakes out. But just my final question to you before we let you go. So let's just agree in terms of a round number that Jefferson Griffin was leading by 6,000 votes coming out of Election Day, and now he's said to be trailing by 70 votes. How unusual is it for a lead of that size to shrink based purely on the continuous counting of I guess provisional ballots?
Well, that's interesting because I just reviewed the provisional ballot data file update this morning, and all 65,000 provisionals are still showing as pending. The counties haven't updated it to let us know which provisionals they've accepted or partially accepted and which ones have been rejected.
That's the the five counties?
We can't know just yet.
Is that five of the counties that are still outstanding or more than that?
Well, that's statewide.
Statewide.
Yeah, there's 65,000 provisionals statewide.
Huh. Well, keep an eye on that for us. And, you know, this is really very valuable information for our listeners, and we thank you for sharing it. And we will stay in touch with you. And and when all of this is when the dust has settled, we will hope that you can give us a final analysis, and also that your data has provided the General Assembly today with the toolkit that it needs to make some kind of a definitive decision on how to deal with this in the form of perhaps even a bill today. So, Major Dave, we thank you very much for joining us, and we'll be in touch, and have a great day.
I appreciate it, Stephen. Your listeners can just go to Facebook to Major Dave. They can go to my Major Dave page and keep up with my most recent postings.
That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, and you do post a lot of stuff, so make sure you follow Major Dave on Facebook. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. All right. Well, that was definitely some riveting information that he's shared with us, and it'll be interesting to see where things kind of shake out from here.
Yeah.
With all of that that's going on. You know,
it's just absurd. And you know, I think that the Republicans overall on a national level in this election cycle were much more prepared to deal with shenanigans and irregularities and lawsuits and those types of things across the board. No question about that. However, it is mind-boggling that that in this state and in a state like Pennsylvania, which is having its own issues, and Arizona and some of these districts out in California, these congressional districts, that we still have no way to stop this drip, drip, drip of ballot counting days and days and days after the election has concluded. And it's just so ripe for fraud and abuse. And we can have to continue to be vigilant on standing up against it and putting an end to it.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, that's the question. How do you fix it? How do you keep it from being an issue? And of course, you know, it rears its ugly head when there is such a close razor thin margin is where it, you know, becomes an issue. Granted, you want every person that votes to have their vote counted. You want to, you know, have that integrity that, hey, we're not throwing out anybody's, you know, ballot that legally cast their vote. And that's that key word right there. Legally casted vote is what needs to be counted. So now you start to get into, like, you know, Pennsylvania, where they're starting to walk these gray lines of, you know, votes that came in after cutoffs and missing signatures, and are those still considered legal and not legal? Well, you know, the rules are what the rules are, you know, and when you have people that want to, you know, quote unquote, not abide by the law to count everybody's vote. I mean, that's where you start to get questions of voter integrity and voting integrity into the mix. And the Democrats are doing nothing to squash that rhetoric. And I don't think they really care. I think they want to continue that. But there is a little bit of a breaking news that has jumped on Fox News here that I do want to go over. It kind of led me in, or I was going to talk about this anyways. So
This just in.
No, Biden a couple days ago has authorized Ukraine to use long-range missiles to attack interior parts of Russia. Biden has sent these missiles over to Ukraine months and months and months ago, but he has told President Vladimir Zelensky that he is not to use those for interior attacks on Russia. Well, 2 days ago, Biden backtracked on that and said, yeah, you can go ahead and fire those missiles. So the breaking news is that Ukraine has fired its first barrage of U.S.-made long-range missiles into Russia. This is coming out of the Kremlin saying that Ukraine has not responded to, you know, requests to verify that fact. But the issue is President Putin has come out and said, basically, I am lowering my threshold of nuclear war, meaning if in fact, U.S.-made rockets attack the interior of Russia, he's going to now say, well, you now, NATO and U.S., are dragged into this war that was just between Ukraine and us, and now every single NATO member, I'm putting you on alert, and you're going to be held responsible, and we may respond with nuclear weapons. So Biden is digging the hole deeper, and I think it's intentional. Honestly,
let us not be so misinformed as to believe that this is actually Joe Biden at work here. This is obviously the military-industrial complex to which he is beholden and has been throughout his very feckless presidency. And, you know, you've got to wonder, he's down in Rio de Janeiro right now at the G20 summit. I'm sure he doesn't know that he's in Rio de Janeiro, but, you know, he gets on the plane, he gets off and says, oh, look.
He missed the photo, by the way, of all the...
of the G20s?
Of the G20, yeah. He missed the photo opportunity, yeah.
His flight was delayed? What, did they fly him down on Spirit Airlines? Or
I don't know. No, I guess apparently that photo, they call it a family photo of all the leaders.
Yeah, it's a very traditional thing that they do. Yeah.
That's at the end of the summit. Because he was there at the beginning, and he was not necessarily center stage, but he was... He was up at the top of behind a bunch of leaders, where normally the U.S. president is front and center. And
but you know, he does.
Xi Jinping was front and center in photo.
He takes that out of the Obama playbook of leading from behind. But yes, this is a very, you know, we can joke about it, but it's a very serious moment in time here as Ukraine is firing missiles into Russia. And I can only imagine that if Biden was at all involved in the actual decision that he has ordered that caricatures of Kamala Harris be placed on the tips of the missiles as they enter into Russian airspace, just as one final act of defiance against her. But
did they tie Peanut the Squirrel to one of the?
Oh, I'm sure they. Yeah, they ought to tie. there's a few other people they could strap onto those bad boys too, like maybe Mark Milley or some of those other clowns in the Biden woke military. But
I think military industrial complex, like you said, the Democrats, the liberals, Joe Biden, I don't know how much, you know, like you said, Joe Biden actually has to do with it, but I think what you're starting to see a lot of pushback from the liberals at trying to find ways to, you know, for lack of better wording, sabotage you know, Trump before he even gets into office. Another thing that kind of came out was the Democrats in the Senate have put out bypassed appropriations committee and released a Homeland Security appropriations bill. It is the only appropriations bill to skip committee. 11 other appropriations bills have gone through committee, but this one doesn't. Apparently, it contains $750 million to resettle illegal immigrants. It contains the CBP1 app, and it also contains a bunch more money for resettlement facilities. So, you know, they're trying to hamper Donald Trump at every pass that they can take,
sure,
you know, over these next 2 months, because if this bill in fact somehow passes, and I don't know if it will or won't, but it's just another obstacle. And I think this is another obstacle, you know, with allowing Ukraine to fire these weapons to try to hamper Donald Trump.
Yeah. And you know, you could say, well, these are all politically calculated moves, but these moves have real life consequences on human beings.
Yeah.
Now Russia is claiming that the missiles that have been incoming today have been largely shot down and have not,
it was caused, only six of them,
caused any large numbers of casualties or damage, in this region of Russia, which is called, it's got a very Russian sounding name here. The Bryansk region, of Russia. And by the way, this occurred on the 1,000th day of the war. Easy for me to say. But then domestically, you've got them deliberately, I guess, trying to bring in or protect as many of these illegal immigrants in our homeland as they can before the Trump inauguration, which will only make more challenging the deportation of these illegals, and which will happen, by the way. And I've got an idea for how to bring Spirit Airlines out of its financial woes. The U.S. government will assign all deportation flights to Spirit Airlines aircraft at the going rate to fill those bad boys up and fly them to points all over the world to supercharge this deportation process. And I can think of nothing better than these airplanes that look like yellow taxi cabs delivering these illegal immigrants back to their to where they came from,
their home countries.
I think it's a brilliant idea, and yes, I'll take full credit for
it. I think that is a brilliant idea. You should post that on Facebook or Twitter and send that to Elon Musk. He may run with that, honestly. You never know. You never know what Elon Musk may actually read if you just tweet at him.
He bought Twitter. Maybe he can just buy Spirit, you know.
Speaking of,
just stroke a check.
Speaking of Twitter, apparently, or I should say X, in the short minutes I've got here, a bunch of Democrats and liberals have fled X for Blue Sky, which is a liberal-leaning platform that was made by an ex-co-creator of Twitter, Jack Dorsey.
Oh, yes.
Jack Dorsey has since left this Blue Sky as well, but people like AOC and the likes have flocked to Blue Sky. So if you want to go laugh at them, go troll them over there.
It equates to their current mood, which is extremely, shall we say, blue.
All right, well, the sounds of the music. We have reached the end of our program for the day. I want to thank each and every one of you listening for tuning in today. And as always, go and visit each and every advertiser that you hear on this station. They are the lifeblood of our economy, and every dollar you spend with them stays right here in Moore County. From me, Stephen Woodward, and all of us at WEEB, thank you for tuning in and have a great and glorious day. We will see you right back here tomorrow morning for another Mornings with the Leader Man.
When I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut! Cut! That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay. Class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.
Broadcasting from the top of the North Carolina Sandhills, 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB, Southern Pines, Pinehurst, Avenue.